ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Recently, in Puri Dham, there was an assembly of mostly of my disciples who I spoke to, and today I'd like to continue with that theme of what I was saying to my disciples then. Of course, others are also welcome to be present. Some of the things I say now may overlap on some of the things I said then. Okay, so here we go. Start off with a quote from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is describing Mayapur Navadvip. So it's in that sense more suitable than in Puri anyway. Kobe Gauravane Shuradhuni Tote Haradha Harade Ha Krishna Bhana Kandiya Berabo Deho Shukha Chari Nana Lata Taru Tana. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is desiring within Navadvip Dham on the banks of the Ganga known as Shuradhuni to wander here and there, giving up the any thought of bodily happiness, wandering here and there among the creepers and trees, calling out Harade, Har Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is desiring in that way, and he's also teaching us. So sometimes we think it would be nice just to wander here and there in Navadvip or Vrindavan and be an unknown, as we're reading in Bhagavatam here about Jarabhara, deliberately unknown, and just be Krishna conscious. Be simple, be happy, go on parikramas, think of Krishna, the whole point of everything that we're here for. It's good to remind ourselves from time to time, if not all the time, that actually we're supposed to be Krishna conscious in the midst of so many activities. Nevertheless, we, at least at this stage, or I, at least at this stage, cannot live so simply in that way. Someone may say, well, why not? Just do it. But there is also the order that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who gave it to Srila Prabhupada, our Prabhupada, who gave it to us, that we have to preach Krishna consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur aspired to live simply in Navadvip Dham. Practically, he built the first temple in recent times in Mayapur. He gave the order to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to serve the Dham, which he did by developing it further. And Srila Prabhupada gave us the order to do that. He wanted us to preach and not be, he said, we do not want Babaji class. So Srila Prabhupada wanted that. That knowing, despite knowing our inabilities, Srila Prabhupada gave us the order to preach. Who should preach? Who should preach is one who knows Krishna. We are brought into this path by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. And when I say we, I'm speaking generally about all of us, I suppose. We're brought into this path by Srila Prabhupada's mercy. We are ordered to preach Krishna consciousness and to practice Krishna consciousness, so we're preaching. At the same time, we have our own struggles with our own anarthas. All the things that keep us from being Krishna conscious, or the things that we keep that keep us from being Krishna consciousness. So it's a struggle. It's a life of struggle. We have internal struggle to be free from impurities, and certainly preaching is a struggle. So internal and external. But there's always struggle. This material world is a world of struggle. Either we're struggling to serve Krishna, or we're struggling to try and attain sense gratification and avoid pain. This whole material life is struggle. Since time immemorial, we've been struggling to attain sense gratification, to attain prestige, to attain comfort, to attain the attention of women if we're in a male body, and men if we're in a woman's body. But the result of this struggle is more struggle. That's why it's called material entanglement. We're already entangled, and the more we try and struggle to straighten things out, the more tangled we get. So it goes on endlessly. But for all of us, Srila Prabhupada gave us the means to get free from this struggle. We can just get out of it. Asanga shastrena dritena chitva. What's that verse? That we should, with the sword of detachment, we should cut through the maya of this material world. Asanga shastrena. Yeah, it means the sword of detachment. We should cut through all of this. So Srila Prabhupada gave us the means. Srila Prabhupada isn't the... we don't claim him to be the only guru. We're not like Christians who say that Jesus is the only way, or Muslims who say that Muhammad is the last prophet. Srila Prabhupada is not the only guru, but certainly, especially we who have come within his shelter, we recognize his great importance in our life, and even objectively speaking. In other words, not just because we're his followers, but because, not just out of bias, but even objectively speaking, what Srila Prabhupada has done, the mercy he has given, the knowledge he has given, is unparalleled, especially in the modern world. And if we do as we are supposed to do, then Srila Prabhupada's contribution should be better appreciated more and more. Ebejosh Gushok Tribhuvan. His glories should now be announced throughout the world. So, Srila Prabhupada gave us the means to get free from this struggle. There are so many struggles. Generally, as the body ages, we get another struggle, the struggle just to keep the body fit. And already the struggle is going on to keep the mind fit to serve Krishna, but then the bodily struggle. Not only older, younger also. I'm looking at a particular face that's nodding up and down in a young man's body. So the struggle to keep the body healthy. You know about that also, huh? The doctors, they know. It's when you're not struggling to keep the body healthy, you don't think about it. But when the struggle goes on, then you know all about it. It's annoying in some ways, because we want to do various services, but we are restricted. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Something like that, Jesus said. Srila Prabhupada also enjoined us to spread Krishna consciousness. Yeah, preaching means struggle. It means we have to struggle with atheists, Mayavadis, demons, karmis, and all others. Those who regularly read Srila Prabhupada's books, they can understand that Mayavadi, karmi, demon, etc. These are all words which Srila Prabhupada often used to describe people whose wrong ideas are misleading others and who should be struggled with to and overcome. There are also struggles within ISKCON, different kinds of struggle. One is to maintain one's sanity. I'm paraphrasing here. Jayaveda Swami, don't blame me. He gave a seminar called How to Survive the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. There is also, there could be the struggle. It depends how you take. Srila Prabhupada said, ISKCON is Krishna. So, if we want name, fame, and glory, and all those things which are not Krishna consciousness, we can also get them within Krishna consciousness. Mercifully, Srila Prabhupada has saved me from the struggle to climb to the top of the ladder and get prestige and position. I have something like that anyway. Struggle to maintain one's integrity within this society, as we see many things that shouldn't be. We want to be identified with this movement that Srila Prabhupada gave us, but we don't want to be identified with many of the things that go on in the name of Krishna consciousness, in this movement. On one hand, we could say that, well, in a big international society, you can expect that there will be many discrepancies, but they should not be institutionalized. So it's a struggle to maintain one's integrity. It's often easier just to go with the flow, smile at everyone and be happy and see no evil, hear no evil, and most important, speak no evil. But if there is evil or that which should not be, then it's not Krishna conscious to equate Krishna consciousness with Maya just because it goes on under a sign called ISKCON. So I don't want to dilate on that in particular just now, but it has become a major factor in my life, and I'm speaking here to my disciples. Because you are my disciples, you inherit my struggles also. So I believe it's my duty to give you the, not just to say this is wrong, that's wrong, and to moan and groan and complain, but one should see with the eye of knowledge, jnana chakshusha, vimurha nanu pashyanti, pashyanti jnana chakshusha. We should see with those who do not see with the eye of knowledge, they are fools, Krishna says, specifically talking about the process of reincarnation. So we should have the eye of discrimination by which we see what is right and what is not right in a society that, again, if we objectively consider, has in many ways departed from what Srila Prabhupada gave. If we examine objectively, there are many things going on in the society at the present time, which during Srila Prabhupada's personal presence, and even for a few years after that, would be clearly seen as departures from his express instructions and desires. So talking about struggles, there's also struggles with having accepted this role of a guru. I struggle with, on one hand, I have to be realistic with myself, that I have my own struggles in Krishna consciousness. I'm not the pure devotee that maybe my disciples think I have. I also have, like all of you, I presume, I have residual anarthas, bad impressions, sanskars from this life and previous lives. On the other hand, it's my duty to advise you how to overcome that. And it's your duty to accept me as a guru, as a guide. So there's a struggle between those two roles of being a sadhak and of being an instructor. That can be harmonized or by anugatya, this very important word. Following simply means following. Very important word. Simply, if we follow Srila Prabhupada as he followed his guru, then we can be, we can confidently say that if you do this and you do this, then Krishna will be pleased because he has given the instruction to do this. With disciples, there's also some disciples, there's sometimes a struggle. Those who maybe didn't understand what it means to be a disciple or themselves struggle to be in Krishna consciousness, they have severe struggles. Or maybe they don't really want to be disciples, or maybe they thought they got the wrong guru or something, and they're not following in a way that makes it possible for me to properly instruct them. I can properly instruct, but I have the confidence that I can do that by Srila Prabhupada's grace. I'm not saying that any personal advice I may give is always going to be perfect, but the advice I give to chant Hare Krishna, to how to address various situations by enhancing our Krishna consciousness, that advice is always good. How others take it, that is up to them. If you don't want to take it, then I can't help. By Krishna's mercy, I'm not hyped up. I'm not advertised as being a great welfare worker, philanthropist, personal associate of Krishna. I hope at least my disciples understand that I joined this movement very much in the same way as you did, all of you, as someone lost and bewildered in this material world who has tried to follow Srila Prabhupada. Very ordinary, nothing special to say about my previous life before coming to Krishna consciousness, or previous lack of life, living death, very ordinary kind of background. I know for sure I'm not an avatar. I did come down from the spiritual world, but it was a long time ago. Anadi karma phale, paribhavarna bhajale. It's the stuck in this material existence. We're all saved by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the previous Acharyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. So we aspire that at the end of this life, I will be able to go before Srila Prabhupada and truthfully tell him. This is a big challenge. That at the end of this life, if I can truthfully go before Srila Prabhupada and say that I tried to serve you in the best possible way and tried to preach and implement your message without changing it. So we always have to remember, as Srila Prabhupada quoted, Shadan Kara Bhajan Kara Marte Janle Hoy. Everything will be tested at the time of death. Actually, everything's tested at every moment. We all have to go. We are all traveling in time. We're going toward that moment when we have to quit this body. So, I request those of you, my disciples, who are present here to try to understand this principle of anugati, how we have to follow. If we follow our mind and senses or the general populace, then we have to accept repeated birth and death. If we follow the great acharyas, then we can, by their mercy, be delivered and go back to Godhead. So I request my disciples to try to understand this principle of anugatya, what it means to follow, and how I observe it, how I would want you to observe that, which is very simple. In one sense, Srila Prabhupada didn't give us anything difficult to do. In many ways, a very simple process, Krishna consciousness. Although the execution of it can be very difficult due to our unwillingness or our impurities which we're carrying from life to life, life after life after life, and which we identify as being ourselves. We think that this is me. All we think, all this nonsense, this calm, crowed, low, mohama, these impurities, lust, anger, greed, we think that is me, but that is not me. I am a pure soul. We are pure souls. We have to learn who we are and act accordingly and not identify ourselves with the impurities. So this principle of anugatya, that we follow the great acharyas. Great acharyas means, of course, saying again, we have to emphasize it again and again, that Srila Prabhupada represents for all of us all the previous acharyas, and every guru represents to his disciple all the previous acharyas. But at the same time, we should be well aware of this fact that Srila Prabhupada is the very special acharya, very special in the sense, in so many senses, that it is he who was deputed by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire and that of all the previous acharyas to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. And in this way, his lotus feet are the shelter for all generations of devotees to follow. As we can observe, even today, in the old sampradayas, the Vaishnava sampradayas, Ramanuja sampradaya, Madhva sampradaya, how each individual disciple up to the present time respects and follows their guru, their immediate guru, but at the same time they look to Ramanuja as their source of shelter, guidance. He is the standard by which all other gurus are gurus. Just as, for instance, Bhaktivinoda Thakur expressed in one song that it is by Krishna that Shiva becomes Shiva. Shiva means auspicious. His auspiciousness, that is bestowed by Krishna. So in the same way, gurus in following Srila Prabhupada, they are gurus by the endowment of that, of the power to be so, by Krishna. Krishna Shakti Bina Nahe Tar Prabhatan, but specifically that is coming through Srila Prabhupada as we sing every morning. Yasya Prasadad Bhagavat Prasado Yasya Prasada Nagati Katopi. His mercy. By His mercy, Krishna can be pleased, and by displeasing Him, it is possible to displease Him. We shouldn't think that we can do anything, and anyway, Prabhupada will be merciful. This is a common misconception that Prabhupada is very merciful. Then we can do anything, and He'll be merciful. But He also taught us to sing Yatsya Aprasada Nagati Katopi. By His displeasure, then we have no hope in Krishna consciousness, whatever else we do. We glorify Srila Prabhupada. Why? Well, there could be many answers to that question. Principally because He gave us the truth, reality. Agyana timirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. We glorify the Guru because He, by applying the ointment of knowledge to the eyes, this is of course metaphorical, He removed the darkness of blindness. So while glorifying Srila Prabhupada, because He gave us the truth, and not only in a philosophical way, but He personally represents that truth in His every action. So, Guru also in following Srila Prabhupada is to be followed and respected for the same reason. Because He gives the truth by which we can be freed from ignorance. Gives the truth and lives and acts and represents the truth. So it's for the same reason. We have to follow our Guru for the same reason that we have to follow Srila Prabhupada. The Guru is a Guru as much as he follows Srila Prabhupada. It's not that... And Srila Prabhupada is a Guru because he follows his Guru, that he always taught us. And the Vande Krishnam Jagat Gurum, Krishna is the original Guru. So, while we understand Srila Prabhupada's very unique position in our lives, at the same time, it's not that we simply bypass our Guru. That's also important to understand, essential to live in that relationship. So, I'm trying to take seriously my service to Srila Prabhupada, and I trust that my disciples will understand and appreciate that, and help in that means to spread the Krishna consciousness movement in various ways, or to personally practice Krishna consciousness. Some devotees are in a situation that in which they're able to give all their time, life and energy to directly serving the preaching mission. Others, especially housewives with young children, their whole attention is, or largely their attention in terms of their day-to-day activities is consumed by their children. But in whatever situation one is in, one should try to serve Krishna to the best of their ability. And as far as possible, try to push on this Krishna conscious movement. Different devotees have different services within this movement, and I hope that my disciples may try to understand what I'm doing. Not just understand in the sense that I am, sorry if it sounds like I'm very egoistic here talking about myself, but as I say, particularly speaking to my disciples here, and others may also listen. So, the devotees, disciples may try to understand what is my specific service in writing books, encouraging distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books, and the Varnashram projects, Gurukul projects, all these. Srila Prabhupada's services are multifaceted, but there are some in particular that I am trying to encourage. Ekaki amanahi paibol harinama shankita. We can't just do everything ourselves. So we also require some help. It may be that some of my disciples don't understand why my preaching, some of the things I say is in some ways quite different to that which is normal in ISKCON. I often hear it said that I'm very strict, I'm a fanatic, and all these kind of things. So I suppose there must be some truth in it if it seems to be a common thing said. But from my perspective, I'm just what I heard from Srila Prabhupada, what I read in his books, I try to follow that and to encourage others to do that. If we're not strict in this modern age when everything is going to hell, then it's very difficult to advance in Krishna consciousness, and it's very difficult even to remain on the or to come to the human platform. Srila Prabhupada, instituted these four regulated principles as a condition for initiation, but he said that those who do not follow this, they're not even human beings, not even civilized. So unless we're strict, it's very difficult unless we're strict in our practice of Krishna consciousness and very serious, it's very difficult not to get, practically we're certain to fall into the very strong waves of Maya, which are everywhere, even in every village, in every remote village practically in the world, you can get pornography on the internet, for instance. And even if just to read a newspaper, it means to get, or even to just drive on the road and see some advertisement, we're subjected to sexual innuendos. And in India, it's everywhere. this strong atmosphere of lust and degradation. Some places are worse than others. It's in the West, as you told me, in America. It's just the atmosphere is, well, here also, it's saturated with sense gratificatory overtones, but at least here there is still some layer of dharma still surviving. But that's, if it was ever there in the West, which it was in some ways, it's quite gone. So if we don't follow strictly in the modern age, then we are going to get carried away. There's not much choice. If we, for instance, watch TV, as my disciples, those who listen to what I say, must have heard many, many times, I say, don't watch TV. What's the big thing? You know, everyone watches TV. Yeah, but everyone's not Krishna conscious. It's inviting fall down. Why would you want to do that anyway? It's just, if one wants to be normal in this world, in Krishna, you can't be Krishna conscious. One has to take up the fight against Maya. In a duel, sword fighting duel, the enemy is trying to kill you. And if you're inattentive for a moment, if you say, just relax. You relax and you're dead. So same way, if we're not strict and serious, then we're in trouble. So it may seem horribly strict or too strict, but as Jayadvaita Swami famously said here in Mayapur, no one ever fell down from being too strict. Slackness leads to fall down. Srila Prabhupada wrote in a letter on the 13th of November, 1968, if you put restrictions, then not so many men will come, but sincere ones will come. Those who are actually, sincerely searching after real spiritual life. That's it, in a nutshell. Keep things tight and we'll get sincere people will come. Maybe not so many. Ekas chandrasta mohanti kim natara sahasrasha. One moon can light the sky, not many stars. Many millions of stars are not as effective as one moon. So, I'm strict, so they say, because I want that you can all go back to Godhead in this life. Why hang around? Why waste time? Why take birth again? In one temple in America, I was there last time, in Dallas in Texas, where previously most of the devotees were initiated by Tamal Krishna Goswami. So I was told that shortly after Goswami Maharaj passed away, one of his disciples was made the town president, and the devotees, they didn't like it because they knew that he was strict. They said, oh no, not again. Almost as if they were happy. Indirectly, that would suggest that they were happy that, now we can relax. Now our guru has passed away, we can relax. He was so strict. Strange mentality. I wonder if such discontent applies to me. That when I pass away, now we can do whatever we like. When the cat's away, the mice will play. But anyway, with some confidence, I can say that some good things are going on which I can present to Srila Prabhupada, that especially some disciples becoming strong, committed, spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, they've caught the spirit, Srila Prabhupada's spirit, that of urgency in spreading Krishna consciousness, of combating all opposing elements. That's a phrase that Srila Prabhupada often used. Of struggling for Krishna, of serving Krishna as Krishna desires to be served. How do we know what Krishna desires? That we know from Shastra and from Guru, from the Acharyas, what Krishna wants. So they've caught that spirit, and some good preaching programs are going on. So my aim is then not just to initiate. I don't see my role as simply initiating, but I would hope that my disciples would take seriously what I'm attempting to impart to them. My role is to teach and to train. It's this traveling life is not the best for that. There's also another dichotomy, that one has to teach and train and at the same time travel and preach. We see in the lives of great acharyas who Srila Prabhupada, he epitomized that, and we see in the past also Ramanuja, Madhva, and even if we take as an acharya Shankara, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also referred to him as an acharya, even though we don't accept his teachings, but they travel widely, and they also spent time in some places, and they trained some disciples who they expected to train others. Otherwise, it's not possible to give systematic personal guidance to many, many devotees. That can only be done with a few, and they are supposed to impart that to others. Thus, we have the concept within our movement of Shiksha Guru. That this term is, at least I often hear it, applied to devotees who are not initiating, who are disciples of gurus present in this world who are initiating, but who have taken a role of leadership usually among their god siblings, god brothers and god sisters, so that there will be what we may call shiksha gurus is inevitable. And that can be done in a very healthy way, or it can be done in an unhealthy way also. Healthy way means that the who is a shiksha guru does not take the role so much of, doesn't advertise or promote themselves as a guru, more something like an older brother, something like this. That their role in relationship to their junior god brothers and god sisters is more like that of an older brother, rather than being. Actually, they may be in many ways more prominent than the initiating guru, but they themselves should not promote that. They have to be transparent, which means they have to transparent, this Srila Prabhupada often used this term, that the guru is a transparent via medium. That means whatever he has received, without personal motivation or any personal speculation, he passes that on to others. So in this way, that is a healthy way of instructing others. But if there is any personal motivation, or if one doesn't hear from the guru, then one will be a shiksha guru. The shiksha will come primarily from the mind, from the false ego of the supposed shiksha guru. They will not be transparent. They will not represent the guru who they're supposed to represent. They rather represent their own plans and ambitions, even though they may not be consciously doing that. So those who are going to take a leadership role within the Krishna conscious movement, which that is required, that some devotees do so, but it's a very delicate position, as it is with a Diksha Guru, similarly with a Shiksha Guru. It's a very delicate position. There's opportunity to help others, and also one may damage others or mislead them or misguide them. One has to be very, very careful to actually and honestly represent the parampara. It's very easy to get carried away by the trust that others place in you, and to presume oneself to be more than one actually is. One should always think of oneself as a humble servant. There's also the possibility for monetary gain. That's also possible. As a guru within ISKCON, I receive lots of money. Well, it's all relative. But whatever we receive, especially that is received, what I receive is received with the understanding that I will engage that in Krishna's service. So we have to do so. If we become tempted to using that for any form of personal sense gratification, gross or subtle, even in the name of serving Krishna, then we are victimized, and we misuse people's trust and people's money. So those who are shiksha gurus, they have to be very careful of this. Labh puja pratishta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu warned, on the path of bhakti, we can be we may have weeds within our heart of the desire for monetary gain. You can by teaching others, they may be willing to give you money, or in some cases we find that some devotees, or whatever you want to call them, they actually practically extort money from people in the name of Krishna consciousness. So this is, those who are coming to Krishna consciousness should also be careful. If your guru, shiksha guru, or whatever, tries to squeeze money out of you, then be careful. It doesn't mean that it's always something bad. Asking for donations is not a wrong thing, but not necessarily a wrong thing, but one should say, who is taking the donation? We should see. Are they using that fully in Krishna's service? One has to be very careful. Shurasya dhara nishita duratyaya. Durgang patas tat kavayo vadanti. This path of spiritual life is like a razor's edge. Very difficult to traverse. So, Srila Prabhupada said about Krishna conscious leaders, this, he said, they, especially the GBC, he was referring to the GBC members, they must be all ideal, acharya-like. This quote comes at the end of a much quoted or misquoted conversation in which I believe it was Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Satsarup Maharaj were asked Srila Prabhupada about the future of the Krishna conscious movement and especially initiation within ISKCON. And then they asked about the GBC members, and Srila Prabhupada said, they must be all ideal, acharya-like. So, acharya-like. It's relatively easy to take the role of a guru. There are many gurus in India and throughout the world. In India, you could call it piety or you could call it gullibility. Gullibility, you know what that means? It means naivete, which is innocence or easily misled. So it's relatively easy to take that role and people will follow. Someone will follow. In India, there are popular gurus who, it seems to me, if their intelligence was even half alive, they should understand. They're just complete nonsense, cheaters. It seems the ones who are the most rascal nonsense and cheaters, they become the biggest and the most popular. Anyway, you know the names. There's the Sri Sri and the hugging guru, and one of them is he still in jail or he got out on bail? That Nirasa. Anyway, whatever. What does it matter to us? So they're examples of what Srila Prabhupada pointed out, and they're cheaters in the names of guru. So that's possible also, but of course within the Krishna conscious movement, to cheat, well, it's not so easy. And you may not even have that motive to do so, because after all, you have to follow four regulated principles, which doesn't make much fun if you're trying to enjoy sense gratification. It's not impossible, but it is highly restricted. So, to be designated as a guru, that means you accept, you give instruction, you accept a superior position, you can accept service, you can accept money. Seems like a very desirable position. And the Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he much criticized the caste gurus who had the role of a guru as a hereditary function. In the caste society, the potter's son becomes a potter, and the potter's daughter becomes a potter's son's wife, and the barber's son becomes a barber. And the daughter of a barber becomes a barber's son's wife. And so the guru's son becomes a guru. It's a profession. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur criticized the caste gurus who just presume, well, I'm a guru, so I go around and I bless people and they give me money and they respect me and that's all there is to it. Once someone told me that he was formally initiated, formally in the sense of institutional, in a Vaishnav Sampradaya. And he'd read some of Srila Prabhupada's books, so he approached his guru and asked him a philosophical question. The guru got up and said, "Why are you asking this question? What are you asking a question for?" As if it's the word. He was upset. Why should anyone trouble him with some philosophical question? That's not what a guru does. He just gives initiation and takes donations. That's all. That's his job. So, of course, you may say I'm painting a very extreme picture here. But by expressing the extreme, we can begin to see some syndromes that may be going on in a less extreme way. But although they might not be so extreme, they're still harmful. Those who are officially gurus in ISKCON, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Shanya Shira Alpa Chidra Sharva Loke Gai. Any fault in a sannyasi is seen, just like if there's a white cloth and there's a little spot of ink, it's very clearly seen, just a little spot. So in the same way, if a sannyasi, and we can extend that to gurus, if there's a little fault, then it's widely seen and broadcast. But those who take the role of shiksha guru, means they have followers who follow them with faith and they act in many ways as gurus, although they may not initiate. They bring others for initiation to their guru. Some of them, I've seen, they may psychologically manipulate or bully their followers in ways which are very unhealthy. Bully them and tell them, if you don't follow me, you can never go to Vaikuntha, or threaten to curse them. This is very unhealthy. Or they may help others in various ways to solve their family problems, economic problems, may spend time, give them attention, but they expect something back from them. It's not freely given help. The help comes at a price. Those who are helped are expected to give their practically blind allegiance. So even helping others can be exploitive. This is all antithetical to bhakti, although it may look like bhakti. It has all the appearances of being bhakti, but some motives which even those who are indulging such things may not be aware of. They may think that I'm doing very nicely, but they are harboring and building up anartas within their heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks about this, that the water of hearing and chanting about Krishna, if the weed or the weeds which are not actually devotion are growing within the heart, then hearing and chanting will actually nourish the weed and not the actual creeper of bhakti, which is completely covered. So those among my disciples who purport to represent me, they take authority in saying, yes, that as being a senior disciple or whatever, using my name, you could say. then they especially should be intent on hearing what I have to say and understanding what I'm teaching. If they don't do that, then what happens, instead of them representing me, it's almost as if they expect me to just give them a blessing so they can go on with whatever they're doing, which might not all be bad, but it's worrying and dangerous, especially if it can be seen they have some motives which are and some behavior with others which is not at all proper, which I would not want to others to think that that's going on in my name. They should. Transparency means that we should direct the attention to Krishna, not to ourselves. There's one case, one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, who was so much all the time saying to Srila Prabhupada that, "I just know you, Srila Prabhupada, I don't know Krishna, I only know you," which is a devotional sentiment, no doubt, but he emphasized this so much that Srila Prabhupada corrected him and said that, no, Guru means who directs you to Krishna. He's not independently the center of attention. That's the fault of all these bogus gurus. Of course, they have many faults, but the root fault is that they direct the attention to themselves. They put themselves in the center. As one of the first 11 gurus in ISKCON famously said, that previously Srila Prabhupada was in the center, now I am in the center. So for his disciples, in one sense, that might have been somewhat true, as he was personally involved with them on a day-to-day basis. But that attitude, and to say such a thing, was very improper on his part, and the result became apparent very soon after that he became way off center, where he's been ever since. He lost it. He lost by, instead of representing Srila Prabhupada, he tried to usurp the position of Srila Prabhupada, and he got cut off from Prabhupada's mercy. So this anugatya, being transparency, we should, if we are to represent our guru, and in this way Srila Prabhupada and all the parampara, we can't put ourselves in the center. In some sense, a leader has to do so, but all the time directing the attention is it to Srila Prabhupada, the previous acharyas, to Krishna, not making oneself the center. It's a delicate position, because as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, when the guru is teaching the Bhagavatam to the disciples, and he comes to the verse, "Acharyang mang vijani annavamanyeta karhi chitna marthya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayo guru," which means that you should know, Krishna says, that the acharya is me. Acharya mam vijan, you should know very well the acharya is me. He should not be disrespected in any way. Should not be considered an ordinary human being or envied, and is the representative of all the demigods or all previous acharyas. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that while teaching this verse to the disciples, should the guru change the meaning and instead say that the disciples should take a whip and whip the guru, He has to teach. He has to teach that. But how the guru is the representative of Krishna by or non-different from Krishna in the sense that it directs others to Krishna. So both things are there. Neither the disciple should be neglectful of the guru, nor should the guru treat the disciple exactly just like a friend, like buddy kind of relationship. He has to maintain a superior position, but at the same time, that is spiritual maryada or proper etiquette. But at the same time, the guru has to not put him, while being in the center, in one sense, he has to direct the attention of the disciples up. So this desire to make followers, na dhanam, na janam, that desire can also be there in Krishna consciousness. In one sense, yes, we should want to have many followers in the sense that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Amaragyai guru haya taro edesh, on my order be a guru to live this world. Srila Prabhupada said that all of his disciples should have at least 10,000 disciples. But one should not desire personal followers, or or even think that I am a guru. One has to think like that, or one cannot execute the function of being a guru, and one cannot properly serve the disciples unless he takes the position of a superior. But the prime identity by which a disciple becomes fit to be a guru is that he considers himself a disciple. His identity, his self-identity is as a disciple, not as a guru. And that applies to Shiksha gurus also. Their prime identity in their service of leading others and guiding others, their prime identity, which makes them fit to be a guru, is that they are a disciple. They should remember when they're bringing devotees up to the stage of initiation and guiding them after that, that they are in the role of a senior godbrother and not exactly the same as being a guru, even if others look up to them in that role as being a guru. So I find it uncomfortable to that, and it's not proper that at the same time it's maybe unavoidable that others who don't really listen to me if I'm to take the role of a guru, I have to say that I have important things to say. It's not just a matter of smiling at people, but there are important instructions to communicate about how to live and act in devotional service. So those who more or less have their own ideas and they think they have it all worked out and don't really need me as a guru in any way, then for themselves to be a guru then and just to bring people to me for initiation, then I'm just like a blessing machine for their own personal trip. Assert their domination, their dominion over others, without having deeply internalized their identity as das anudas 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 anudas. I've heard. I don't know. I've often. I don't know always what my disciples are doing, because in my presence they may tend to behave better than in my absence. But sometimes I hear of disciples shouting at each other, saying bad things about each other. So I don't shout at people much, I don't think, I don't remember, at least recently. And then I don't do that. Then why should you do that? If there's something that should be pointed out, I may point it out in a philosophical way. But to create personal enmity, this is not the characteristic of a Vaishnava. I gave a lecture some time previously, I think, was it maybe last year, in which I spoke about leaders, the people, devotees or whatever, who take the role of leaders, but they're like monsters, dangerous monsters. So you can please listen to that. But those actually for whom it's meant, they'll never listen to it, or if they listen to it, they'll think it's meant for someone else. So what to do? Or if they think it's meant for them, then they become angry. How could it be me? How could it be talking about me? In Srila Prabhupada's presence, some disciples started accepting worship as if they were gurus. And they actually tried to usurp Srila Prabhupada's position in relationship to his disciples. Srila Prabhupada stopped it. He didn't like it. He said, in one case, there was one devotee. Some devotees complained about him that devotees are chanting his name in kirtan, Jai Gaurasunda. You've maybe never heard of him. At the time, he was prominent among some disciples. They were chanting his name. Srila Prabhupada said, it's not a bad thing to glorify Vaishnavas, but the proper etiquette that is that they should wait until their guru passes away, and then they can accept that. There were others who actually not only took glorification, not only were devotees keeping their picture and worshipping it, but they actually gave instructions very different to those of Srila Prabhupada and started to... there's one specific case in which the devotee who actually at the time was considered the leading devotee in the movement, in the early days of the movement, wanted to introduce secularization and told devotees that they shouldn't wear what we nowadays call devotional clothes, although some people object to that term. He wanted to mix Christianity and Krishna consciousness. Later, after Srila Prabhupada passed away, after being told by Srila Prabhupada not to do this, he did this anyway. So Srila Prabhupada, he said that there was nothing wrong with glorifying Vaishnavas, but he was concerned about the attitude of some of his disciples who they were seemingly too anxious to take the role of a guru without themselves having become a proper disciple. Today also we see that I know of at least two leaders within our movement who are disciples of a present guru in ISKCON, who themselves, they have a celebration of their Vyasapuja or their birthday in a grand scale, even while their guru is present, which makes me think that, well, maybe they're just getting ready for their guru to pass away. It seems to me not proper. Do they want their guru to die, or what is that? Why are they so anxious to accept that? So I'm not saying that all of my disciples are all wrong or misled, or I'm very happy that by Krishna's grace, Srila Prabhupada's grace, I do have many disciples. So I'm very happy to say that, yes, in Srila Prabhupada's service, I'm guiding these devotees. They're my disciples. But as you can understand, I'm also very concerned about some who take that role and don't properly guide others, not selflessly, all for Krishna's pleasure, but their Krishna consciousness is mixed up with serious anarthas, serious wrong motives. So that can cause me pain and embarrassment. Although they may seem to be in Krishna consciousness, they may have never made the actual transition into Krishna consciousness. There's the materialistic way of thinking and there's Krishna consciousness, and it's quite different. Yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyang jagati sangyami yasyang jagati bhutani sanisha pasyato munehe. There's a distinct difference, day and night difference, between Krishna consciousness and material consciousness. But it seems that some devotees, even though they may be many years in Krishna consciousness, they never really made that transition into spiritual consciousness. So this is advertised to finish it at 6 o'clock. And it's 6 o'clock now. So I'll finish there for now. And maybe then tomorrow we'll have another venue. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.